Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Presented here is a free teaser for this month's edition of the Top Rope Nation Classics Patreon bonus podcast. Every single month, we release a deep dive on a classic wrestling event as voted on by our supporters on Patreon. It's a true historical deep dive. The only place to hear these shows in full? Join the Patreon page for just $5 per month. The link is right here in the podcast description. Patreon is the best way to support the show. So click that link in the episode description and read all about it. It's patreon.com/toprope nation and enjoy this special free preview.
This is Ken Resnick, and I'm here to say we've got the greatest wrestlers in the AWA. But you're not here to listen to me mumble. Let's fill you in on the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Get on!
Wrestle Rock, be there.
We're the Midnight Rockers, Sean and Marty.
We love to wrestle.
And we love to party.
You don't have to worry.
We're not gonna bumble,
because we'll be shaking through the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Ow!
Yeah!
Dude, it's Sir Vern Gagne rapping.
It's so funny. I don't know if you guys noticed right before we started. I put myself on mute. It was because I started that, because like I hadn't watched it since Jesse initially sent it to us. Like, I gotta watch this again before we start the show again.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
How is that for the start of the 41st Top Rope Nation Classics as we get ready to talk about Wrestle Rock 86 and yes, indeed, the infamous Wrestle Rock Rumble. Jesse Velasquez, thank you for joining us on the show tonight, sir.
Being in attendance number one, and I'm going to pin myself TRN bald for the evening, if you guys don't mind.
Nice.
I know. I got to up the game tonight. First time on Classics number one, and number two, I've heard of the last handful of episodes, and I know that there's been a fair amount of alcohol involved.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Always.
So I'll start sipping as we roll along, and just for the record, if I black out in a couple of different ways, don't hold it against me, folks.
You know, what are you going to be sipping on, by the way? Sorry to cut you off, Justin.
No worries. So I think I told you both about this. I have a little studio distilling rye malt whiskey. It's a very small company. It's now moved to Northeast Minnesota. If you look up under the San Francisco World Spirits Competition in 2019, they won double gold for this rye malt whiskey that is in this beautiful cup.
Ooh,
here.
Yeah, it looks good.
So we're going to sip it on the rocks this evening. I recommend if you come to Minnesota, again, it's very small, contact me first. I'll get a hold of Brad and he'll be able to take care of you. If you do come to Minnesota, you don't want to see him directly, go to Total Wine. That's the best place.
Yes, it is. I've been there. That place is like Toys R Us for us, fans of adult beverages.
Yes, indeed. You will not be seeing the Triple H Metrodome if you go to Minnesota these days, but we're going to take you back in time to see that place here as we talk about Wrestle Rock. Justin, what do you got on the glass, sir?
Well, it's funny. On my way home from work, I stopped at our local Happy's, you know, our where we get all of our adult beverages for the most part, because I was going to grab some Surly for the show. I figured I got to drink something from, you know, Minnesota for this. Completely forgot about that because I ended up in the whiskey section looking for that whiskey that Frank recommended on the Facebook. And unfortunately, Ryan, I did not see it. Yellow Rose, I believe what it's called. So I don't know. We still have a chance to maybe check Hy-Vee, but yeah. So to answer your question, I'm just sipping on some Jameson's tonight.
Ah, okay. Well, you guys are with the hard liquor. I'm taking it back the 80s here. I got the cheap beer right now. Well, Coors Banquet.
Nice.
But Justin, funny you should say that, because I will be moving on. Probably my all-time favorite beer, just, you know, everyday man's beer, Surly Furious. Always love Surly. I always have this in my fridge. It was like the first craft beer that I got really heavy into. And I felt just like you were saying, appropriate enough, a Minnesota beer taking us to the Twin Cities tonight.
So the best I can do is, you know, for anybody just listening and not watching, I'm wearing my Minnesota Timberwolves hat to both celebrate this show and promotion from Minnesota and Minneapolis, but also to commiserate them getting knocked out of the playoffs last night.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, Jesse, you got your Vikings jersey on too. So yeah, you're remaining true to the home state here. And as you said, you were at this show. So you're going to give us the live perspective. We've done this in the past where we've had some of us who were at the events. We did WrestleMania 22 where I was there. Kyle was at Invasion. We did Invasion 2001. Now we got Jesse here who attended this one. And Justin, we're going to have to do a show that you were at. I guess it's going to be NWO sold out someday, huh?
Oh, God. Do we want to rewatch that one?
I know. Probably not. But we're going to have to get that one somehow voted in January one of these years. But all right. I mean, let's just start off then. You know, we always talk about what we were doing at the time. Well, I'm a couple of years younger than you guys. I'm not going to have much to share. I was 2 years old. But Jesse, at the show, tell us the story. How did this come about for you to attend WrestleRock?
My father, actually, we'll go back a little further. My mom and my dad, both families watched pro wrestling growing up. So I think I'm third generation, started with my grandparents. And in 1985, I remember being at my grandma and grandpa's house. And my uncle walks in the door and he has this Animal and Hawk Road Warrior shirt on, all white with just their figures, just their faces. I was mesmerized right there. And then he's like, oh, well, wrestling's coming on in an hour. Do you want to watch? And it just so happened that they opened up that card, or they were the first wrestlers that were shown on the show. As soon as that happened.
How old were you?
I was 5.
Okay.
Yeah. I just remember them doing a promo, and then they showed maybe 45 seconds to a minute of them just running roughshod over some jobbers. And from there, that's how I started watching the AWA. I got into the WWF in early 1986. I remember a Saturday night's main event where it was Hulk Hogan teaming with Andre the Giant against Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy.
Hmm.
Right. That in my grandparents' attic. Yes, that was right before WrestleMania 2. I guess back to how I got the tickets. Again, my father, one of his good friends, and then I think another one of his friends, there was 4 of us. And if you see the camera as it's being panned onto the mat, we are actually on the camera side. So the camera shooting in, we're back. So like anything that was being shot head on, that's what I could see as well when I was there.
Okay, nice. Justin, you're a young man at this point in time. Had you started watching pro wrestling much?
I was aware of it, I think, is the best I can, because this was, I mean, rock and wrestling had happened by this point, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have only been 5 and a half when this show took place. So I wouldn't say I was watching regularly, but I was certainly aware of it and strictly a WWF fan too. Honestly, my awareness of AWA was basically zilch. And even today, my knowledge is essentially just what WWE told me in their documentary about it. So I'm sure that's a little slanted.
All right, so we're live at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, 2:30 p.m., roughly 21, 22,000 fans in attendance. I mean, they booked this big building, the stadium. They do a, I mean, that's a respectable number for an arena show.
Mm-hmm.
Should they have been running the Metrodome?
It makes for some bad visuals, especially for the first like half of the show, especially the first third when it is like, it looks like it's half filled. And then depending on where the camera, depending on where the camera shot, it's completely empty. So just the layout in general of the show was not well thought out.
No, they should have been way more mindful of how they position their cameras. Cause if they, when they shoot from like, I think it's the right side looking left, you see all the empty seats. When they shoot from the left side looking right, you see mostly full seats in that corner of the dome. They should have only shot from that side in the hard cam and they would have been fine. But the, yeah, it's really jarring when they show that look where it's just all empty seats. And that doesn't look good. Doesn't look great. But I mean, yeah, that's still a lot of tickets sold. But you know, they could have sold out one of the arenas that you mentioned, Jesse, there in town. And probably not done 22,000, but you know, I don't know, close. I don't know what those places said, but it would have been a raucous crowd.
Civic Center, I think, was 18,000 and Met Center was 14, I believe. Okay. Yeah, the gate was 300,000, which is a pretty solid number. And then for also reference, the NWA ran Jim Crockett, the Crockett Cup, two, like in split and a double header. And the first one was only 3,500. So they ran the tournament and then they had the quarters, the semis, and the finals in the second variation, and that was in the Superdome, only at 13,000 people as well. So this outdrew it at least.
Okay. And I mean, as a Minnesotan, not to get too much into history, but I gotta ask you, what are your thoughts on Hubert H. Humphrey?
I don't necessarily know if I can repeat those right here on air, can I, Ryan?
Well, you know what, it's funny because I was teaching about Vietnam today, so I talked about him a little bit as the VP back then. I actually gave the guy some props. I said, hey, you know what? Lyndon Johnson should have listened to him because he was kind of against the war in Vietnam when it started up. So he actually was right on that. But yeah, I only got up to the Metrodome one time. Justin, you see much at the Metrodome before you tore it down?
I got to a couple Yankee games up there.
Okay.
When they sucked. And I think the first, you know, everybody looks at the Yankees as this dynasty that never loses and spends big money. I think they lost the first eight games I ever went to and like got crushed. I went to one where they went through all their pitchers. This was in Kansas City. They went through all their pitchers and ended up having to have their shortstop pitch at the end of the game.
Oh my God.
Atrocious. Yeah. I had just the worst luck.
I'm surprised you kept going.
My dad kept taking me.
Jeez, that's bad.
The Don Mattingly years, they were an okay team. They were at least 500 or a little better most of those years.
Not when I was there.
Dang.
Man, that's rough. That is rough. So as this show opens up, we've got, let's see, was this actually the first match? Because I ran into some issues here where when I was looking up the card and then watching it, stuff was out of order as it airs on Peacock. So on Peacock, the first match is the Boris Zukov versus Brad Rangins match. Is that actually the first match on the show? I need to cross check that.
I believe that it was third.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Looking at Cage Match, they have the little person match first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, then they have the Women's Rumble after that.
Who altered that? Was that AWA or was that WWE?
I would imagine it was WWE, and there's a reason why the Midnight Rockers and Buddy Rose Doug Summers match is not on the Peacock version. It's on one of Shawn Michaels' personalized WWE DVDs. I forgot the name of it. It starts with a D. It's like My Destiny or something along those lines.
Okay.
You can find it on that, and it might be on Peacock, but you can find that match on ESPN.
Yeah.
Do you know why it wasn't included?
I think it was because they transferred the match to the DVD for Shawn Michaels personally.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because that's a pretty solid match as we will get into here. All right. Thoughts on this opener, Jesse?
Brad Rangins, more known, I would say, as a trainer and an accomplished amateur wrestler as opposed to a pro wrestler. So he's basically Kurt Angle without the charisma and the gold medals.
I loved they were hammering home, you know, he's an Olympic gold medalist and as an assistant coach, not exactly
Greco-Roman.
Yeah, not exactly a Olympic gold with a broken frickin' neck.
He was favored. He was favored to medal in 1980, but the United States boycotted the Moscow Olympics for obvious reasons. Yep. So he had a shot at it, but obviously we'll never know. I'll go through a handful of the guys that he trained and Medusa, because there's a lot of them. Stuart's going to appreciate the name droppage here. So Stuart, we're going to shout you out multiple times throughout this podcast. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Hennig, Jake the Snake Roberts, Jerry Lynn, Vader, the Nasty Boys, JBL, Rick Steiner, Scott Norton, and Kevin Kelly, who you may know as Nails.
Perfect. He, I got to tell you, he has been over the years, I don't think I've seen him in a couple of years, but he has been a constant presence at the Tragos Thez Hall of Fame here in Waterloo. He's really? There quite often. I've seen him there several times. Yeah. So I'm still from Appleton, Minnesota. They hammer that home on the announcing.
Oh, my God. That was basically my only note for this match is like, I believe he's from Appleton, Minnesota. Yes. I'm not 100% sure.
So he must still be in the Midwest because he's made his way down to Iowa. I've seen him a number of times. Gabe's listening and Ryan Huffman. I'm sure they've seen Brad Rankin's out there as well. But as the match starts, Rankin's takes a little, or maybe he was showing Shawn Michaels the way about 11 years later, because he blows his nose and wipes his ass with the Soviet flag, much like Shawn Michaels with the Canadian flag at Survivor Series 97. Same thing.
That was one of two things that I remembered about it. The other one was when he jumped in over the top ropes into the ring, Gary Michael Capetta collapsed a little bit and fell into the ring ropes.
Yes.
You could see him just a little bit, and I believe it was Sheik Adnan El Casey, I think it was Yukov's manager, or was it General Akbar, one of the two, had to prop him up a little bit. Hilarious.
Real quick, can somebody tell me why we only had one commentator for half this show? Was somebody late showing up, like the majority of the crowd? Was he stuck in line with all the rest of them?
Well, I'm trying to remember if Larry Nelson was the one that was doing the ringside interviews along with Ken Resnick. I think that they were going back and forth. But one note about Rod Trongard that I got from AWA Unleashed. It's a recent podcast locally here with Slick Mick Karch, who I believe did some Florida work as well. I think he was kind of the host for the syndicated shows back then. Is that they said that he was transitioning from being a radio guy pretty much his entire broadcasting career. This was one of his first maybe 6 to 10 months on the job as a television guy. So that's why you heard the repetitive Appleton, Minnesota. And then you heard Buck Zumhoff later from Hamburg, Minnesota. Yeah, we could get into that later too. But yeah, Trongard was more comfortable for radio as opposed to television.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, so early on in the match, Rankin's gets in some offense, but then it's mostly dominated by Zukov for a good stretch of time. Rankin's fights back with right hands. He works the left leg of Zukov. He bashes Zukov's leg across the ring.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.